healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is that most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health, wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, enjoy life more, and that's what we attempt to bring you in Healthy Alternatives, options that you can look at. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. And this week, what I'd like to talk about is video games, especially the violent ones. This was reported by the Herman Trend Alert, and it cites to the Journal of Children and Media, where they did some research looking at how violent video games, what kind of impact it has on the moral reasoning of children ages 7 to 15. And what they found basically is that children that had prolonged exposure to violent video games, it affected their ability to develop empathy and sympathy. What it suggests is that the children who play these games frequently are receiving negative messages that in effect tell them there's no consequences for violence. Now, the concern comes up when you add to these messages other negative environmental factors like poor parental communication and unhealthy peer relationships. So what frequent exposure does is in effect to the children's perception that being violent is acceptable or right, and that the children who play these games actually accept all types of violence as being okay. And when you consider that 25% of the video games that are played contain intense violence, blood and gore, and boys spend twice as much time playing these games than girls do, they even found that children aged 7 to 12 were actually playing games rated M, which is for mature content, that's designed for kids ages 17 or older, which means there's even more blood and gore. And just recently, the Supreme Court of the United States took a look at the notion of violent video games, and they said, well, it's a free speech issue, and we're not going to step in, even though these violent video games literally tore the actors or whatever it was that you're looking at on screen, tore people apart, organs were flying all over the place, and that's free speech. We get confused in this country because we outlaw sexual kinds of pictures and pornography and those kinds of things, yet we look at violence and say, no problem at all. So we're raising a generation that's spending more and more hours looking at these violent video games, playing them, and we're going to be losing the notion of empathy and sympathy and the notion that violence has consequences that you need to be aware of. So as a parent, you're going to have to become much more diligent because the Supreme Court said, basically, it's up to you to decide. We're not going to have any kind of real control to control these types of games. Today, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Rob Pennington. Rob has written the book, Find the Upside of the Down Times, how to turn your worst experiences into your best opportunities. And Rob is kind of like, if you're familiar with the Bible, the story of Job, which had disaster after disaster after disaster. Well, Rob had many of those kinds of disasters hit him. We're going to be exploring that, but then we're going to be also looking at how you can discover the positive alternatives that can be hidden in these kinds of crazy challenges we're going to be talking to Rob about. If you want to know more about me, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I also do a monthly e-newsletter that you can subscribe to by going to teplitz.com, clicking on the home button, and you'll see where you can sign up for that. Also, I'm going to be doing another one of my Switched On Selling and Switched On Management training programs. You can go on the site to Specialized Seminars. You'll see Switched On Seminars, and you can take a look at signing up for one of those classes. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough, its new discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and your loved ones. What I want to talk about is Alzheimer's disease. Now, with Alzheimer's, there is really no treatment out there that can really cure it. But there's research that's come out recently, and this was a study reported at the Alzheimer's Association's International Conference in France, that there are things you can do personally that can curb your risk factors for developing Alzheimer's. So what they looked at were the risk factors, and they found that the ones you can curb are things like smoking, depression, low education, diabetes, too little exercise, obesity, and high blood pressure in midlife. Now, this was a worldwide study, and they also looked at the U.S. as part of that study, and they actually found the factors were different between the two. In the rest of the world, the key element is low education as a significant factor for causing Alzheimer's. And the researchers believe that's from a number of things. One is poor nutrition can be the result of poor education, but also because you're not using your brain power, you're not actually developing your brain power because of the lack of education. Smoking was the second biggest cause worldwide, and followed by too little exercise. In the United States, it was a bit different. Not enough exercise, inactivity, was the leading cause of the difficulty. And that's because a third of the population is sedentary. The second cause of Alzheimer's is depression, and followed that by smoking and high blood pressure in midlife. So the notion of reducing depression, getting active and exercising in this country, stopping smoking, reducing your high blood pressure, are things that are in your control. And if we reduce these factors by 25%, we'll currently reduce the number of cases of Alzheimer's worldwide by 3 million cases. Why do we want to be looking at this and taking action on this? Because the researchers expect by 2050, the number of Alzheimer's cases are going to be around 106 million worldwide. We just went through this whole debt crisis in this country. If what you're talking about now is enormous levels of debt created by people who need long-term care because of Alzheimer's. You can do something, and you can start right now in this country and around the world to make a difference in your possibly getting Alzheimer's. Before I bring on my guest, I'd like to pause for this message.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
My guest today is Dr. Rob Pennington. He has a doctorate from the University of Texas at Austin in educational psychology. He's had a long career as a psychotherapist and an executive coach. He's a professor at three universities, a four-time recipient of the Mental Health Association's Outstanding Speaker Award, and one of Meeting Professional International's original Platinum Presenters. He has been listed by Fortune 100 for 29 years as a for the success of his training programs, and he is also a very old friend. I've known Rob, and we've worked with each other for over 30 years, and we're going to be talking about a new book he just came out with called Find the Upside of the Down Times, How to Turn Your Worst Experiences into Your Best Opportunities. Rob, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm really excited about being here to be a part of your great work and all the help you give people to find ways to be healthier.
Now, in your book, Rob, you're looking at, it's really an autobiography, Find Your Upside of the Down Times, and you have had a hell of a lot of down times. So this is not to depress the listeners, but we're going to be looking at what he's experienced it, but how he's turned these things into healthy alternatives for himself and how you can also. So in his book, he talks about having been fired, divorced, shot in the chest with a 38 caliber bullet, audited by the IRS, and having a wife who had MS and passed away from that. And so, in effect, you're hearing what sounds like the story of Job from the Old Testament, who had all these chaos stuff happen to him. So what do people say when they hear this whole list of things, Rob?
Well, I found that people have a bigger reaction when they hear that I've been audited, which tells me that most people would rather be shot than have to be audited by the IRS.
Well, that's like the concept of the number one fear in the country is fear of speaking in public. So it's kind of like that's up there too, either the IRS or speaking in public, you know, shoot me, kill me.
But not that.
So how'd you get yourself shot, fella?
Well, you know, I really didn't do anything. I was just walking home from the store one
day.
That's
what they all say.
And it was around dusk, and a car slowed down in front of me and stopped. The driver got out and walked towards me, and I figured he was just looking for directions. You know, it happens a lot around the neighborhood I live in. And then two other guys jumped out of the car, and that's not as normal. And this first guy grabbed me and told me, you know, like, get in the car. And somehow I was able to get out of his reach, and he pulled out a gun, and that's what I would call a stressful moment. And I went through this little conversation in my mind real quick, you know, thinking I'm going to say, what do you want? And he said, give me your wallet. And that's about as far as I got in that imaginary conversation. So I just said, what do you want? And he just smiled and shot me, which I didn't expect at all. So and, I'd been shot because I saw the flame come out of the gun. It comes about 2 feet. It's quite beautiful. And if you've never seen it, he shot me with a 38 caliber, which is a pretty big bullet. But the miracle is that the bullet stuck in the center of my breastbone. It didn't enter my body, which is amazing. And then because bullets are spinning, it created wadding of my shirt and kind of plugged the hole so I didn't bleed at all. And I think it kind of scared them, kind of da-da-da, da-da-da-da, you know, because they all jumped back in the car and took off.
Yeah, because with that bullet coming at you like that, I would think the force would have knocked you down.
Yeah, I think that's normal. But, you know, really the miracle is I walked to the first house right across the street. I knocked on the door.
Hold on, Rob. So you got shot in the chest, and they sped away, and you walked.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I wasn't bleeding. And I kind of had the wind knocked out of me. I knew I'd been shot, but I just didn't quite understand or grasp what was happening. And I I walked to the first house that had a light on, and I knocked on the door. I remember it was kind of raining a little bit, and the guy who opened the door was wearing hospital operating clothes. He was a heart surgeon, and he worked at the Herman Hospital Trauma Center, one of the best in the country, just a few miles away. And I said, I think I've been shot, and he said, come in. And he was great. He called the ambulance, he called the police, even called my family, and within what seemed like a few minutes, I was in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And I get this picture. For years, I've been practicing something I call the stress management response whenever I get stressed by things. And it involves breathing deeply, relaxing completely, reassuring myself, thinking positively in the stressful situation, and smiling at the humor in life. So about 10 years of practicing these steps and all the little elementary school lessons in life, it's become kind of habitual. So while I was in the ambulance, strapped to the gurney on the way to the hospital, that's what I was doing. I was breathing, relaxing, reassuring myself, thinking positive. And in fact, I remember the thought I think I remember most was just thinking, you know, Dan, this is a good story. You know, I even had some humor in that moment.
There's a notion amongst speakers, and Rob is a professional speaker as well with what everything else he does, is the notion of when a trauma hits, you're saying, in effect, gee, I can use this as material for a new story. So you were right there with that.
Yeah, and so speakers, we have that kind of slant on things, but I think I want to extrapolate that out to everybody that they can do that, maybe not in terms of a career, but in terms of learning and gaining something from the story. You know, so like that's a part of the process that anybody can learn how to do.
So
you don't have to wait to get shot to do that.
So tell us what you're seeing as the process that people can do.
Well, you have to be practicing along the way. So I was more prepared to deal with this graduate school lesson, like getting shot, because, as I said, I was busy for years learning how to deal with the elementary school lessons, like, you know, not getting annoyed when someone cuts in front of you in the highway, or when you're at the stoplight and you're in a hurry, or when someone puts the toilet paper on the wrong way, or when the computer crashes. I still get a wave of stress hitting me when those things happen, but I've learned to recognize it quicker and move through it faster, and that's really the key. I think that's what you could call a healthier alternative to what most people do, who wait until the traumatic moments, like getting divorced or having a catastrophic illness or going broke or getting fired, before they learn some more positive skills. By that time, I think it's kind of too late. It's kind of like in the martial arts, they teach you how to punch and how to block, but they don't challenge you with any actual physical combat until you practice those techniques over and over when you're not in the middle of a conflict, until this becomes habitual. I mean, probably one of the main purposes of your show is to introduce your audience to resources that can help them not only deal with the current challenges better, but improve their ability to be more successful in the future when they have to deal with it then. So they have to practice now, and I'm really happy to be a part of that today.
There's an interesting study that I was reading about that with police officers, that if they rehearse being in a negative situation, they're more likely to not have the physiology response, which becomes tunnel vision, and their breathing gets shallow, and they're more into fight or flight, that if they've rehearsed this over and over again, they won't respond the same way. They'll respond in a much broader way, and may actually be life-saving for themselves and other people as well.
Yes, and they're learning not to have the emotion that's a habit, you know, overwhelm them. I mean, it's going to hit them, but they've learned how to deal with it. You know, they've learned basically this breathing, relaxing, reassuring yourself, looking positive, and that kind of keeps you more, I guess, conscious to those opportunities and alternatives in the moment to be able to respond to it quickly. And so you practice in the little events all throughout the day to get to where you can be good in the middle of an argument. Because for most people, like in the middle of an argument, this emotional wave hits them and causes them to forget any communication skill.
Now, so, unemployment today is, you know, large numbers of folks having difficulty, and with the chaos coming out of Congress, those numbers are probably going to go up as well. And we're actually taping this show a couple of days before the potential default on the debt from the government. And so in terms of the stress people are under who are unemployed, can you talk about what what you talk about in your book about that and how you start looking at alternatives for that as well.
Well, you know, I've lost my job, and that's one of the chapters in the book, and it is extremely stressful for millions of people. And in a way, I kind of have continued to live there. You know, being self-employed for 30 years, I'm actually permanently unemployed. You know, I'm always looking for work. I live where most people are terrified of ever being, in that I know what my expenses are, but I don't know where my income's coming from.
One can say you are one can say you are totally unemployable, fella.
I wouldn't say unemployable, but it is true that I'm always trying to become employed, and that's part of the story of the book. But in the book, what I talk about is the time that I did get fired before I knew all this stuff, but what I learned from it and how that eventually led me to finding a completely new career that was way more rewarding than anything I had previously imagined. And a lot of times I think people, you know, they lose something they have, they don't imagine that they could end up with something better. And another time, there's another story in the book where the biggest corporate client I had was bought out by another company, and then they canceled all my contracts, which is about half of my income for the year. And so I've been in a fetal position on my couch a number of times. But through it all, I've learned some important things, and I know it might be a little trite to say when a door shuts, a window opens, but I think there's some truth there, because the point is, if you're feeling sorry for yourself about the change and you're banging your head against the closed door, being upset that it closed, you certainly aren't going to see the open window behind you, and you won't look for other opportunities that may exist. And I think life is always going to be presenting roadblocks and challenges. I still have doors closed in front of me, but success is more to do with what you do when you hit that roadblock than where the roadblock is. And so it's really about learning to make changes in response to change. And what we were saying earlier about how to just deal with all the little frustrations in life can help you when the bigger things come.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Rob Pennington, in just a moment.
Coming up September 9th, I'm going to be doing my Switched On Selling and Switched On Network Marketing one-day trainings in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You're going to really want to take a look at this if you're involved with sales or network marketing. It's a way to rewire your brain in minutes. So it was difficult, in minutes will become easy. We've got the research that proves this. You can find out more about this by going to teplitz.com, teplitz.com. You'll see the navigation across the top. It says Specialized Seminars. You get a drop-down menu. It says Switched On Seminars. You can go in there, look at selling, network marketing, and validation research. You're going to want to make sure you check this out. It's powerful, powerful work. You're going to want to make sure you can come and take this seminar. You can also become an instructor. You'll see become an instructor there as well.
So we're talking today to Dr. Rob Pennington. He has a doctorate from the University of Texas at Austin in educational psychology. He's been a long-term career as a psychotherapist, executive coach, a professor at a number of universities. He's received the Mental Health Association's Outstanding Speaker Award. And he just recently released his book, Find the Upside of the Down Times, How to Turn Your Worst Experiences into Your Best Opportunities. And you can find out more about that at his website, upsidedowntimes.com. That's upsidedowntimes.com. And so, Rob, you now work in the and have for many years in the corporate training leadership area. How do you use the knowledge from your personal life into sharing it professionally with folks?
Basically, the idea is that you have to get a lot of tools in your tool belt. So when the situation happens, you're ready. I still get stressed and worried, like I was saying, but I learned to recognize it quicker and move through it faster. And that's what I teach executives too, whether change management or leadership development. It's all about how the individual handles themselves and their relationship with others. And the most effective leaders know that they need to continually develop themselves and their people in order to build increased competency and produce more successful results. And Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, you know, continually sharpen the saw. And in the book Core Business, the 30 Management Principles of the U.S. Marines, one of their core principles is employ extreme training. So situations faced on the job shouldn't seem more daunting than those faced in training. And I've been very fortunate to work with executives who value ongoing training and coaching and how both can be integrated to and support the ongoing work of their business. And that's very exciting for me. And the more interested they are in recognizing how their personal and professional growth depend on each other, just the more enthused I am about it.
Now, let's talk about a difficult area, I know, and that's your wife, Claire, having died from MS. You want to talk about what you wrote in the book and your situation?
Yeah, she was diagnosed about a year before we got married. And so we really knew that going in. And we were married for 29 years, and she passed away a couple of years ago. And MS is just a terrible thing. It destroys the myelin sheath around the nerves, so that essentially your internal wiring shorts out and the brain can't communicate with the body. And the simple act of getting a spoon to your mouth can become difficult, even impossible. And at first, we both worried about all the times about how bad her symptoms would get. But then we both had to learn through many struggles and with much help, we did get a lot of help, to focus on the reality of just this moment, the present moment, that was usually challenging enough. And just dealing with life one day at a time was really important. We decided together that we would deal with tomorrow's worries when they became real and when tomorrow got here, not today. And that really helped us deal with just what was today and not get so terrified about tomorrow. And you know, she functioned very well through most of that time. And even in the end, when she got to where she even couldn't move and couldn't speak, she really dealt with the lessons of letting others help her. She had a lot of resistance to that at first, but she, in the end, she was very inspiring to anyone who was around her. I mean, it was just a really powerful experience.
Now, you said a little bit ago that you both got help. What kind of help did you get to assist you?
Well, a lot of help from family, from the MS Society. They had support groups that were very helpful in our relationship. We had a marriage counselor that was very helpful. But I think mainly, you know, we had a strong faith. We really believed that we were in this relationship to learn, and the challenges we accepted. And I think that went a long way. I think a lot of times people don't accept the challenges, and then they get worse, and they have a hard time dealing with it together. And those are the things that help them.
So the spiritual side for you became a very important aspect of this.
It was always important, I think. We had from the very beginning a realization that this was going to be had challenging possibilities to it. And I think it's true in any relationship, you know, that you're going to be challenged by their unlearned lessons and your unlearned lessons. But when you put on that the overwhelming challenges of an illness, it can be pretty scary and pretty demanding. And I learned to get through it, and I learned how to do it in a healthy way, but it does require some help.
So those outside resources of family and friends became a real plus in helping you all
Absolutely.
Get through all that.
Yeah, help. I have a whole chapter about the importance of help.
What do you focus in on that chapter, Rob?
Well, we just have a reluctance to ask for help. We think it means something bad about us. You know, we think it means something about our value and our worth, and that's not true. You know, we really do have a need for help at times, every one of us. And what we forget is how much we want to help others. And we forget that they would feel the same way getting to help us.
So you have gone through a lot of stuff for yourself. And with folks facing the economy, the political craziness that are going on here that seem in effect out of our own control, how would you say people can deal with this kind of a situation?
Well, that grows really nicely out of what we were just talking about. But, you know, we all need help in one way or another, one time or another in life. And obviously Congress right now needs a lot of help. The problem is that whenever most of us need help, we tend to think that that means something bad, like I was saying. So what we need to be able to do is to realize that when things are beyond our control, and to kind of cause a downtime in our life, one trick is to ride the downtimes in such a way that I'm poised to capitalize on the good times when they return. So kind of go in the direction things are going. So to help with that, one thing I'm doing with my book is not coming out with a hardback, but starting with a paperback and putting out Kindle and iTunes versions at a very low cost to help it make it be more accessible to people. Because downtimes happen. I mean, that's life. You know, sometimes you're high in April or shut down in May, as Frank Sinatra said. Everything has seasons. what is expanding is going to contract, what's contracted will expand. It's just the way it is. But specifically, what I want to encourage people is a certain kind of steps to take. You know, in those down times when life contracts, opportunities are scarce and things are less plentiful, then to ride that horse in that direction, you want to contract your own life. So in possessions, get rid of everything you don't need and have a garage sale, clean out the room and be more efficient about your time. I mean, create goals and stop doing anything that doesn't take you a step in that direction. And in money, don't ask if you want something. Like when you're trying to buy something, ask, can I get where I want to go without it? You know, do I really need this? And even in your thoughts, you know, worry is a habit for everybody, but you can learn to distinguish between what is real and what is fantasy and act on what is reality and take practical steps. And each chapter in my book has a story about a difficult time I faced, the lesson I learned, and an activity the reader can practice to save themselves time and pain, and how long it would take to learn that lesson on their own. That's my hope.
So what you're actually saying to folks is they need to take action. In other words,
yes.
This notion of dealing with the traumas of life that come at you, not to just, as you said earlier, sit on the couch or curled up on the couch when you got fired, but you need to do something about it.
True. And, you know, we get fearful about our reactions, you know, in times of uncertainty, but when are the times ever certain? You know, we are always facing the unknown. I think the challenge is whether you're going to personally take responsibility for filling that unknown with a positive, even if you haven't figured out yet how to make it happen. I choose to believe it's impossible for anything to happen that I can't learn from, and that it's impossible for anything to happen that I can't use to grow and improve my abilities to deal with the challenges I know I'm going to be facing. I think it's irrelevant if anyone else thinks this way, and I am very grateful to feel very blessed to have the faith and the family that have supported me learning, you know, that how I think has a profound effect on how I feel, which affects how I behave and the results I'm able to produce. And it still goes without saying it takes a lot of work, a whole lot of work and a lot of help. But, you know, everyone has traumatic things that happen to them that we like to tell people in stories, but we usually have to get past the situation before we can see the light at the tunnel, so to speak, and find the value from it. I mean, I can look back at getting shot and being fired and audited by RS and even having my wife die in my arms with a catastrophic illness and find great value in those experiences. While they were happening, they were traumatic, but because something is traumatic doesn't mean it has to be tragic. I mean, a teacher once told me, you don't have to be in a miserable situation and also be miserable. Being in a miserable situation is bad enough. So I want to help people learn how to get out of that and move forward quicker.
Yeah, one of the things that spiritual teachers talk about is from the depths of despair, the spiritual side, the growth side of us has the ability to come out to levels that we never thought possible.
Yeah, I said the dark night of the soul, you know, has opened the door to new possibilities that I hadn't imagined. I mean, the book that I wrote now, I just couldn't have done years ago. I've grown so much. As a result of the circumstances that I was committed to dealing with and learning from them. And if I can do it, anybody can.
So what would you like to leave the listeners with? What kind of thought?
Well, you know, that one about you don't have to be in a miserable situation and also be unhappy. Being in a miserable situation is bad enough. And then no matter the challenge, we can get help. But we have to be persistent. And we can change, which, again, usually you have to find the window behind you when the door closes in front. And that's what being healthy requires. It requires effort. It takes work. But we wouldn't have the challenge we do if there wasn't something valuable to learn. That's what I firmly believe. And that way of thinking has made a huge difference in my ability to handle some pretty profound down times in my own life and persist with help to eventually find the upside. And if I can, like I said, I know anyone can. And that's what I'm hoping the stories and lessons and activities in my book will help people discover more quickly in their own lives and to find the blessings hidden in those difficulties, to find that upside in the down times.
And as we can tell, Rob is still walking and talking and breathing. After
well, I'm actually
all
getting healthier. You know, it
yeah,
takes a while
get,
to recover some kind of difficulties, but I am making my progress there.
So if you'd like to get Rob's book, Find the Upside of the Down Times, How to Turn Your Worst Experiences into Your Best Opportunities, you can go to his website at upsidedowntimes.com. upsidedowntimes.com. That's upsidedowntimes.com. Rob, thanks for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry. Blessings to you.
My guest next week is Colleen Haney. She has a master's in education. She's a certified speech-language pathologist and communication specialist for over 30 years. She's also a certified energy therapist, educator, ordained minister. And Colleen has a private practice in energy therapy in Boca Raton, Florida. She has developed a specialty in working with people to shift fear and anxiety when they're going to be going through medical treatments such as surgery, chemotherapy, or invasive tests, to find what she calls peace through medical procedures and allowing them to return quickly to a healthy, productive life. Her program, in effect, presents clients with a blueprint to what she calls befriend the body, so the body remembers its own natural healing imprint and way to heal. This is going to be a fascinating show. You're going to learn how you or loved ones can really take surgeries and really come out of those very, very successful. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or if you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.